This morning's message will come from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 12. You'll find this in your Pew Bible on page 1100 and 1101. I will make one slight change to the reading of the scripture this morning. In verse 1, the word spiritual, I will substitute the word reasonable, okay, which is the, I believe, language of the King James Bible that I think here for an English rendering is more appropriate. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to you, to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's that time of year, the end of December. And are you pondering what I'm pondering? It's resolution time. It's resolution time where we write a whole new list of things that we'd like to do next year and engage the requiem of things that we failed on or are disappointed about last year. Resolution time. As I think of resolutions and the ones that I've set and written down in the past years of my life, I realize that by reading what Paul says here in Romans 12, that sometimes resolutions can be an intensely personal thing. And in fact, too personal. So personal that it is to the exclusion of others. But I submit to you that for this year, maybe it's a better thing to have one resolve, one resolution. And that resolution would be to present your bodies as sacrifices alive, holy and acceptable to God. Because in the course of this resolution, the true meaning of sacrifice emerges. First of all, a sacrifice is something that is done in service to God. It is priestly. And secondly, sacrifice involves something that emanates from love that is a benefit to others. Now, if I can attach a rider onto those two premises for this morning, sacrifice also involves cost. It costs you something. It is with such beautiful imagery that Paul uses the idea of sacrifice from the Old Testament. But the difference here is that the sacrifices are to be alive. When we think of sacrifices in the Old Testament, we think of a very gory scene. If we were able to visualize the court where the priest served, and the slaying of the animals, and the whole place drenched with blood. It wasn't something that was pristine, pretty, and clean. An animal was losing its life for the sake of someone else's sins. For the person who owned the animal, that animal had to be relinquished over to God for his use and pleasure. And the lamb itself had to be spotless and clean. But God was asking Israel and is asking us now to do no more than what he himself was willing to engage. That the reason why Paul can even give this magnificent exhortation comes in light of the first 11 chapters of theology in Romans, which basically details God's sovereign act of love, and which details the plan of how God wants to live with us, and that our victory is won and is complete in Christ Jesus. That God has thought of every intricate detail that involves your salvation and your well-being. And to do that, it cost him something. The life of his son. To do that, it took an act of love. To do this wonderful, marvelous thing for us. Us who engage daily in treason against him. From the very core of our existence, to disapprove of God's reign and rule over us. Denying godliness. Hating one another. Creating and contributing to this chaos we call the world in which we live. Paul is asking, in light of this wonderful truth of what God has done, he's asking the Romans to make a resolution. A resolution that is classic and is fit for every year, not just 1998. Or not just for the year 51 AD. Or 33 AD, but one that is timeless. This year's resolution for us all should be very simple. One line. Present my life to God for his use. Now, when we think of sacrifice, again, we can sometimes get carried off into the idea, well, this is just my sacrifice. No, this is a communal idea. Because what we are doing, once we give our lives to God as sacrifices, we're saying that, God, I am your lamb. Place me upon the altar and my life is yours. I can't remember who's responsible for this comment, but I think it may be Dr. John Walvoord, but he said the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. But the altar here is everyday life. You cannot crawl away from your existence. So the resolve is to give my life, to give your life to God as a sacrifice, which is a reasonable issue. It's a reasonable thing to do for those who have been declared priests. And such we are, everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. It is a reasonable service in light of the work of God that we give our response to his work in loving gratitude, expressed in humble obedience, that we give our lives to God. And here's what he will do with it. Okay? To keep this from being a personal issue, so that when December 31st, 1998 rolls around, it's not a list of things that have only affected and impacted you for your benefit, but that it has impacted the lives of others. Let's listen to Paul's words here. He says, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice alive. Not dead, but consecrated for God's use, alive. He says that this sacrifice is to be alive, is to be holy, and is to be acceptable to God. The idea of alive, I think that's pretty easy. There's the concept of life and death are pretty easy. One's living, one's not. Okay? not a dead sacrifice, a sacrifice that is immobile, a sacrifice that does not engage life, a sacrifice that is living and interactive, that is relational. A living sacrifice. Holy, the concept of holy is something that is consecrated and set apart. It is not for profane use. It is not for everyday use. It is something special. When my wife went to serve Christmas dinner, we didn't see the normal stoneware plates there. We had to look at the ones that we can't break. Okay? The ones you can't drop the fork on, the ones you can't bump the glass into the plate. They were special. Because that particular set of dishes, it's very old in my family. It belonged to my great-grandmother. And they're special. It's for a specific use. Well, God is saying that our lives are to be like those plates, but they will be used on an everyday basis because God will be served. Every day now is our Christian holiday in light of our relationship with God. So, we're to be alive, we are to be consecrated, set apart, and we are to be pleasing to God. I can't tell you how many discussions that I've had in the tenure of my ministry over the issue of sanctification. And whether sanctification is a process, whether sanctification is an act of God, whether sanctification is an act of man. Do you engage in sanctifications on Friday? If you're Catholic, can you eat fish and be sanctified? I mean, there are 1,001 questions that everyone has concerning sanctification and setting our lives apart from God. It's very simple. It is a very simple issue. You do what is pleasing in God's sight. Now, I realize that by saying that, I just saved you from reading about 12 books. Okay? 12 steps to get close to Jesus. Simple. You emulate what Jesus did. He did what was pleasing in God's sight. Not protecting or considering his own existence, but giving it over to us. Not my will, but your will, I believe, was the conclusion to that speech in Gethsemane. To that most sacred prayer that acknowledged the pain and the ignominy of the cross. But nevertheless, your will be done. Sacrifice me, my Father, that you may be glorified. Should be the Christian's resolve to say, sacrifice my life that you may be glorified and I glorified in you. For it is your glory that I seek and that I seek to clothe my own life with. Use me for your purpose. So what does God have in mind then? Well, the reasonable service that we are to undertake involves two things, a contrast. In verse 2, that we not be conformed to this age is the first part. But, and here's the contrast, but that we be metamorphosized, that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds in order that we might approve or engage the things that are in conformity with the will of God, the good things, the pleasing thing, and the perfect and mature thing. Okay? This is what the presentation looks like. It involves two things. Staying away from the way the world works and engaging the way God works. It involves setting aside this earthly society in which we live in and all of its trappings. The me age. The look out for number one because number two is insignificant. The I have to be fulfilled and happy age. The where is the relevance in this age? To set these things aside. And on the other hand, be engaged by the greatness of the glory of God and by His plan, which has been revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, the one whom we call Savior. To be conformed, not to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, here's a good question. Why does my mind need to be renewed? Well, because if it's not renewed, it does the same things that it used to do. Okay? It's very difficult to have a new resolution with an old mindset. Okay? Going into the new year, having the same habits. Well, I'd like to work out and really get in good shape this year. But I don't want to get out of bed before 11 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Well, I'd like to be a better husband, as long as I don't have to stay home that much. I'd like to learn more about the Bible, just as long as I don't have to go to Sunday school. I think worship service is enough. There can be no embracing of what is new until the old mind is let go of. Because what the renewed mind is going to do is something astounding. It will basically unite a group of people together. It's what a new mindset will do. Okay? And that new mindset is a part of the sacrifice. In other words, Lord, I will give my mind over to you that you may tell me what to think. Now, it's interesting that in the previous passage, in Romans verses 11:33 through 36, this was a great crescendo leading into this passage. Paul says, the riches of the depth, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how unfathomable are his ways. One of my favorite Greek words here, anaxikniaston, sounds like a big word, a big concept. How deep, how utterly penetrating, how marvelously profound are his ways. Who has known the mind of God? Who has become his counselor? What steering committee have we put together to inform God on what he needs to do to be God? Who has given something to him that God has to repay a debt? And here's my favorite part. For all things are from him and through him and to him. And Paul says, glory be to him and to the age. Amen. Then he says, therefore, all things are from him and to him and through him. Therefore, present your lives as sacrifices to God that are living, that stand in the awe and majesty of that 11 chapters of theology that spelled out how the miserable receive the grace of Christ, even though we didn't want it. That God sacrificed and gave, the sacrifice that cost something, that involved love and benefit to others. That is a service to God, which is the work that Christ did. So I need to have my mind and my whole psychology as a Christian to be renewed, that I might properly fit into the plan of how God wishes to use me. How does God wish to use me? For what reason does he want my mind transferred over to his way of thinking and transformed? Here it is. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if we can jump down into verse 3, he will tell us. So that we do not think as individuals more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but rather to be sober and to use our standard of measurement. Instead of "this is what I think of me," we use the standard which is the faith that God has given us. Am I serving you correctly? Am I submitting to you so that you might use my life to do what you wish to do? That is my standard. And God has measured this out to us individually to ask Him, am I the one that you would like me to be? Am I conforming to the image of your Son? It is not for me to compare myself to what I'd like to be. It's not my resolution. It is the resolution of my Savior. It is not how good I am in comparison to you. Because first of all, I could be wrong. I am not your standard. As a pastor in this church, I am still not your standard. And you are not mine. Our standard is Christ. Our standard is the ultimate sacrifice. Our standard is the pleasure of God. This is our standard. To give my life to Christ so that my mind could be renewed to prevent me from thinking in a way that resembles this former age. Because what God wishes to do with us and our priesthood and our service and our sacrifice is to give each of us individually to the whole body that the whole body might benefit. What a resolution. So at the end of the year, you look, you don't say, well, Lord, look what I achieved. But you say, Lord, look how much better Jane's life is. Because I obeyed you. Because I saw the opportunity to encourage her and I seized it for your glory and for your name's sake. That I sacrificed my time to your glory. What a marvelous thing. And all at the prompting of your Spirit. That the more spiritually mature men in this church could say, Lord, look at the opportunity that I had this year. Look at this great resolution that I gave myself to submit myself to you. And the young men that I was able to counsel this year on how to keep their marriages strong and firm, how to love their wives, how to be priests in their own homes. That the older women might do the same. That the teenagers in this church learn how to encourage each other because we know what happens at school, don't we? Marilyn Manson is not our idea of a role model. But that's what you see. That's what they experience. The challenges that take them away from sacrificing their lives to Christ. So that means that those in their teen years need to be on guard to encourage and buttress and support the cause of Christ right there in that environment. I resolve, Lord, to be used as you would have me to be used to edify your body. But to do that, I can't get in the way. It has to be a sacrifice unto you. A wonderful thing about learning the Bible, I love studying the Bible. I study the Bible until I get a headache. Ask my wife. I had one last night. I go over these passages and I take out my books and they're all over the floor. And when my Macintosh is working, it helps me, my computer. It's presently possessed by an evil spirit, but we'll cast that out later on. But I spend hours and sometimes days, and when I walk away from the books, the passage won't leave me alone. I can still hear the words reverberating in my skull. And that's neat. That's great to know all of those things. But the blessing comes in sharing it. That these are the very words of God, the very life of God. That Jesus says that if you would feast upon these things, you can have me abiding in you and the same that you can abide in me, and then you can bear fruit because you're plugged into the vine. That's why preaching is so special. Not because I'm benefited or seen, but because you hear and want to respond and embrace God for all that He is.
But what those are the joyous times. To hear someone came back and say, oh, that word was so profound.
And I'm thinking, well, it wasn't mine. I was just repeating what he said.
I have a job as a repeater. To repeat the things that God's word says. And what God's words say here is to sacrifice. Give your life over to him. That he may put it in service for the benefit of others in his body. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing if we had one of those year-end services and we have the microphones where everyone comes up to the microphone and expresses how someone else was a great blessing and benefit in their lives during the year 1998. What a glorious body. What a glorious church we would be. Not because we're Park City's Presbyterian Church, but because we are the children of God. What if by you attending Sunday school, taking that initiative and saying, Lord, if I am to be this, I must know more about you. And the sermons here are great. I love preaching. But there's nothing like being able to ask questions. To stop and mull over the richness that's hidden in the Word. To surface it and use it. To excavate and find a priceless artifact that belongs in the museum that's your heart. What happens if by you taking that little extra step that you learn how to be a blessing to someone else? Oh, that's where the glory is. That's the beauty of a sacrifice. The difference is the lambs that were laid on the sacrifice in Israel were never able to say, I was glad to do that for you. Only one lamb could ever say that. Only one lamb. And his name is Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, our anointed salvation. This is the challenge. This is the resolution. This is the resolve for us this year. This is the quest for the next 365 days. And then beyond that, because then next year, this resolution is a classic. It's a Bach. It's not a pop 40 tune. It'll work again in 1999. And forever and ever, amen. Just like Paul said, you can keep using the same one. And it gives you thousands of benefits. But more importantly, it gives others thousands of benefits that stream from your heart. If you're searching for a blessing this year, maybe God can get one to you if he can get one through you. Maybe it's time that we have one proposition on our resolution. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the time. Precious Lord, just as we are indeed many and yet one body, help us to draw our focus not in ourselves and not in our own agendas. For as even the Apostle Paul said, he had a wonderful resume, but he considered all of those things to be lost for the surpassingness of knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. That we might be found not having a righteousness that is concocted and made up from ourselves, but the kind that's based upon the faithfulness of Christ in his sacrifice, the kind from God, the kind that's predicated upon our faith in him and his finished work. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that we might be conformed to the image of his death and somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Realizing that we have not achieved this most lofty goal, But we lay aside the things behind and we strive forward in diligence to capture the goal which is our great prize, the upward calling of Jesus Christ, and our destiny of being righteous and in perfect relationship with you. But Lord, as we pursue, help us to learn to know and to walk on that upward path, that we might be sacrifices in service to you for the benefit of others, appropriated in love and enjoyed in your grace. In Jesus' name we do pray, our sovereign Savior, Lord, Prince of Peace, and our very reason for being. Amen.